Bremerton may be at a tipping point. With a revitalized downtown and affordable homes, some Seattleites are looking west and thinking maybe it's a good time to buy. It's a new story, but it's an old one too. Back in 1890, one Seattleite saw an opportunity across the water, and without him, Bremerton wouldn't exist. Kim Malcolm asked the Museum of History and Industry's Leonard Garfield, who was this man?
Well, he's a Seattleite, but he gave his name and his fortune and all his thought and energy to Bremerton. His name was William Bremer. He was a young guy in his early 20s, actually, living in Seattle, but had immigrated from Germany, and he saw a great deal on the horizon.
And was he unique in that respect? Were other people looking at that side of the water?
You know, a whole lot of people are over there looking at that side of the water, and I'll tell you why. Very early on in American exploration of the Puget Sound, they recognized that that side of the sound would be a great location for the U.S. Navy. But as that speculation of a naval station advanced, real estate speculators thought they were going to get in on the deal as well. And William Bremer was one of those. But he ended up being by far the most successful.
How did he come to own the land across the water in the first place?
Well, like a lot of land speculators, he simply went over there with a pretty hefty checkbook. The checkbook belonged to his brother-in-law, who was a Seattle jeweler. So here's this young guy in his 20s with a wealthy relative. He goes over, he kind of scouts out the land, he figures out where the naval station might be, and he buys up everyone's property that he can find. One fellow who was one of the very early settlers had 100 or so acres. Bremer bought that up. He bought other land claims up. And he ended up with a giant chunk of property that he and his brother-in-law controlled.
So tell me a little bit about his vision.
He thought that really there could be a metropolis on the other side of the sound from
Seattle. A metropolis?
Absolutely. It was going to have shops and residences and factories. And it was all going to revolve around this enormous federal investment. Now, that's not too unusual. When the federal government says they're going to spend a lot of money, a lot of people see that as the gravy train, and he was going to hook his caboose onto that. But in this case, he actually provided some of the engine. He actually drove that train.
And other than just like an economic picture of how it was going to work, did he have other ideas about what Bremerton, the city of Bremerton, would be like?
Well, he thought it would be prosperous. He thought it would be a great place for families to live. And he probably was overly optimistic that it would be kind of a normal apple pie American city, because what he perhaps wasn't so keenly aware of is that when the Navy came with a lot of sailors and a lot of shipwrights and a lot of single guys, it brought with it a certain licentiousness. So Bremerton had a vision of a rather wholesome, prosperous American community, and he ended up with a pretty rough community on his hands that he suddenly was the town father of.
So not his original vision, but he decided to stick with it, right?
He did stick with it. Unfortunately, William Bremer died at a very young age. He died in his mid-40s in 1910. But when he died, the city really was in a boom period. His vision of a prosperous community truthfully had come true. The naval yard was doing a lot of business. The city had grown up. There were many businesses that got their start because of William Bremer. He gave land for churches and schools. His family eventually started the bank. So it was successful. But he stayed in Seattle, and it was interesting, Kim. I was walking through Lakeview Cemetery the other day, a great place to study Seattle history, and there were the gravestones for William Bremer, his wife Sophie, even his two sons, who inherited all his interest in Bremerton after he died. So they kept their financial investment in Bremerton, but their heart and their physical bodies remained in Seattle.
Leonard Garfield there, he's the director of the Museum of History and Industry, talked with Kim Malcolm.